Did I hear you're shopping for a car? Because I've been at it for ages. Ugh, such a time suck, right?
Not really. I bought it on Carvana. Super convenient.
Oh, then comes all the financing, research. Am I right?
Well, you can, but I got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, but then all the number crunching and terms, right?
Nope. I saw real numbers as I shopped, found my dream car, and got it in a couple of days.
Wait, like you already have it?
Yep.
Oh.
Go to Carvana.com to finance your car the convenient way.
So the two guys that you see at the beginning of the commercial, Ryan, they're immigrants, right? And I think they're Italian. Like, it's never super specified, which is kind of weird because you wonder if they're like automatically hopping on the Olive Garden thing, but they're coming to America. It's like a kind of like a TikTok romance thing. They're coming to America and they stow away on this giant boat. Okay.
Okay.
And in the boat are you swoop through and you meet a whole bunch of characters. There's this.
I can't tell if she's fucking with me.
What do you mean?
No, I cannot tell if you're fucking with me right now.
No, the commercial's insane.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Does somebody else want to tell him?
No, keep going. I want to see.
Okay, so there's this girl who's been promised in marriage by her family. You meet this other character.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been promised in marriage by her family to this dude who like...
This is an Applebee's commercial.
Yeah. Who, he's kind of a dick. And they're all... They're all like sitting around at dinner.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is this other guy Billy Zane?
Caitlin told me you had never seen Titanic.
I haven't seen Titanic, but I know generally that Titanic is a movie.
Okay, that was, man, I thought if I started with Fabrizio, you might not catch on for a minute. Anyway,
no one needs
not,
to watch to Titanic to have seen Titanic.
That's not the Applebee's ad. That's the plot of the motion picture Titanic.
Hand of God, you really had me going. I was like, okay, sure. Like, everybody is so worked up over this Applebee's ad that I'm like, all right, I guess it's
how
a
did
story.
Billy Zane trigger this of all?
No, Billy Zane is the trigger, though.
I didn't say Billy Zane.
No, but
you
but
implied him.
The marriage plot specifically, I'm like, wait a second.
You implied Billy Zane. You thought Billy Zane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You projected Billy Zane.
I did research for this and everything. I asked your wife what's the most famous movie you've never seen.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely Titanic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's super Titanic.
I've never seen Titanic either.
Anyway, Ryan, why don't you click now to the Applebee's ad and watch it while we record your reactions in real time?
Do I have to do it?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, you do.
Is it possible for you to explain to me what the ad like? And I'm not saying will you do this. I'm saying do you think it can be done?
No, because I wasn't lying about the very first part. It's in TikTok form, and none of us can explain the dances. We're too old.
It's a song by Walker Hayes, who joins Ham Grunt and Bert Fornthop.
You made three of those up.
Walker Hayes is real. Grunt is the guy I've always said is the guest picker on game day every week, because there's always some I put it in the chat for you, Ryan. There's always some country singer on game day who they bring out and they're like,
sure,
woo, look, it's Thong Breaktorp.
And this isn't like, even up to the level of like Jean Truck Shorts Cutie though.
So the URL here includes viral fancy TikTok song, and I'm hoping that it is Reba McEntire's fancy. And that this is a story about somebody trying to like prostitute out their child at an Applebee's.
Second question, and I know I'm not in a position to say something that sounds like a joke, but have you ever seen Reba McEntire's Fritos ad?
A long time ago, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
Yeah. Okay. The viral chart topping. All right.
Ryan, you reading this headline is pissing me off. That's how much I hate this commercial.
Okay. All right.
Saying the word fancy. My toes are curling. I'm so angry.
I cannot overstate. Also, this is one of those things where the first time you're like, God, that's annoying. And then it plays in every commercial break for 12 hours. This was very much a volume offense.
Ryan, okay. do you have cable or you're streaming?
I'm streaming.
Huh.
I'm on YouTube TV and I
saw it's more prevalent on via streaming.
Everybody who said like, well, you must not be watching any games on ESPN or Fox. And I'm like, no, that's. No, I'm watching.
Yeah, I'm only watching CBS SN. Yeah.
That's right. I was primarily watching Fox and I saw it 12 times.
I'm a hipster. I'm only watching this on the CBS Sports Network. It proudly employing Houston Nutt for like
forever.
8 years.
Forever.
Another for 8 years.
Until he gets the UConn job.
Employing DJ Durkin.
It does do that. All right. I'm going to click play now. It's 30 seconds long. I'm going to let you know when I pause.
Feels
it.
Longer.
With some
Did we start the podcast today?
Yeah.
What podcast?
This is going to be the cold open, I suspect.
Okay. All right.
Real cold.
All right.
Let's see if Ryan can wait for the shockingly big butt on a man that pops up in this. There's a dude with some cakes. I was not prepared.
I saw an athlete this weekend who has bigger cakes.
The jeans guy? In this one?
Yeah.
I was unimpressed.
You were unimpressed? Whoa. Your standards for man cakes are higher than mine.
There's nothing special there.
Maybe it's the hip flexibility. I think
what it is it's the cowboy jeans, which leads you to think, oh, that's more than there should be there, which granted, yeah, but it's still not a lot.
Lion ass man booty jeans.
It's like seeing Hank Hill with any
Ryan's rubbing his forehead and he looks really tired.
He's screen cap it.
I have trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do have trouble because now we've passed this shit on to you.
Everyone has said this is a commercial, but it is more. it is much more akin to like when you're in a JetBlue plane and they have to show you like a little advertisement or something.
It's like when the Delta CEO comes out to talk about how they definitely didn't lay off all their staff during a pandemic.
Or like taxi cab TV is what it reminds me of, where it's like, yes, a product or a business is named and some of the things about those businesses are hinted at, but it just sort of like throwing it. I guess the thing it reminds me most of is in the old NCAA games when it like cuts to a crowd shot and it's just like, you know, polygon white people holding up signs that are like beat them state or something like that. And you're like, but it's just that it's like, what if NCAA was just that?
I love it when a business gets to this stage. Applebee's has no new customers. They're admitting that they don't have to advertise that they have food to people who have not heard of Applebee's. Sure, right. You're not going to Applebee's unless you have already entered that particular channel of personal damnation. You're locked into the Applebee's lifestyle. This is really just feel good advertising to reinforce and fight away the guilt and the shame that you feel at going to Applebee's. That's what this is. Like, oh, that's the place with good times where I go and eat my sad riblets.
I love the idea of giving up on replacing dead Applebee's customers, just fortifying the ones who are not yet.
We're just building a moat around this sad cadre of people
with their
that
bodies.
We've recruited with good times and good vibes. That's what we're doing.
If you told me in a vacuum, if I was at a wedding or something dancing and somebody came up and said, you know what that reminds me of? The food at Applebee's. I would stop dancing and I would feel bad.
I don't believe you. You have appeared on television as an onion that was fried.
Why did Ryan just poop on the floor? Someone said this reminded him of Applebee's.
So apparently this whole thing was like they went on TikTok and they gathered some people were dancing to a country song by a man, which is the worst thing I've ever heard. A country song by a man dancing to it. Get that shit off my phone. But they just gathered it and posted it on TV. And now we all have to hear a country song by a man.
Also,
all football season.
Can I say, you said a country song by a man, and I agree you shouldn't dance to it. A country song by two men, though, one must dance to it because that would include Brooks and Dunn's Boot, Scoot, and Boogie.
Sure.
No, all of this is diseased and fallen. Get it all out of my sight. I don't want any of it.
Heresy!
No, it's oral gangrene now.
It's all got to go. We cannot take any chances.
It's the only way to be sure.
I miss summertime love. That's really.
Yes, that was good.
I voiced it. Oh, God. Yeah, that should be a marker of what kind of time we're in.
Get up, get up, get up.
Okay. I saw a Florida athlete over the weekend who has the biggest butt I have ever seen on a man. Who was that? You know who I'm talking about. Who was that?
Oh,
was this the kid they were talking about? Or
this is the kid they call Big Wiggle. And I feel like that's not descriptive enough a nickname for him. Like if I were him, I would be going by like Credenza.
Sure.
Desmond Watson.
Desmond Credenza Watson.
Desmond Watson. If you did not watch the game, you missed Desmond Watson. Who's
Desmond
fellow...
Seats 12 Watson.
Desmond Canyonero Watson. Desmond A380 Watson.
That's got a drop leaf butt.
Yeah. When you take the drop leaf out on the defensive tackle, you get Desmond Watson. Desmond Watson, by the way, is down to 400. He came in at 480, got down to 432.
Oh, that's right. What class is he?
I believe
I think he's a freshman.
He is a freshman.
Like your dining room table at Thanksgiving, he's only gonna get bigger.
Yeah. So Florida's got a 400-pound dude named Desmond Watson, whose teammates have named him Big Wiggle. Big Wiggle.
The first sentence of his.
I just think that's because college kids don't know what sideboards are.
The first sentence of his 247 scouting report: a large, wide-hipped body that's well over 350 pounds. That's how you describe like a car. and his okay, his player
comparison, he put him like next to a Fiat.
His player comparison is Terrence Cody.
Oh.
So.
And he's
I love Terrence.
And he's bigger than Cody.
Surprise.
He's bigger, but the thing with Cody was is that Cody was big, like his upper body was real big. This dude is
Terrence Cody had arms that were like 30 feet long.
Yeah.
Like he had Inspector Gadget arms.
He did.
I'm stuck on the Applebee's commercial, y'all.
Oh, welcome back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You will be because it's not going anywhere.
You're in it now.
Yeah.
You've seen the ring. TikTok.
I think what is throwing me is that it makes me believe that there is that like we are in the upside down or in the parallel universe, because I think for as much as people, you all and other people on Twitter seem to really dislike that this, clearly there are thousands of people who are like, I love this Applebee's song and I love shaking my butt to it on the TikTok.
I was just That's assuming no this was the easiest way they could film a commercial around COVID, because I got to feel that Applebee's are in a number of anti-vax hotspots.
This is the problem with you silent majority people. You're silent. You need to say this. With
yeah,
your
you
chest.
Need to be you need to no, you need to be more silent because being loud is how we got the song.
Yeah, I would love this if this song was silent.
No, they need to come out and say this with their chest so I can know, so we can name you and shame you. That if you're like, hey, I like Walker Truck Faces, Applebee's rap. That's really what I want.
Rapplebee's.
Rapplebee's. Oh my God. If somebody dropped it, listen, I hate Applebee's. Like, really, like, genre. I know that's not even being cool. You're just like, there's no reason for it to exist. It's just not good.
Bubba Sparks follows at least half of this show on Twitter. We could probably make that happen.
Yeah. But like, if you named a mixtape Rapplebee's, I'd
sure.
Day one. Day I'm going out and getting it.
My life is not better for having watched this.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I was really hoping that this was going to be like a so bad it's good or a like, what the fuck was happening here?
You can still be listening to me describe the plot of the movie Titanic, but no.
I like that Jason, you gave the best name for Titanic I've ever heard, which is to call it Titanic. Titanic. Go ahead and refer to it. Yeah, you did.
I like it.
But that's the way I'm going to call it from now on, because I will never see it and I will only refer to it
as
Titanic.
That goes in the Spider-Man.
Wait, Server, have you seen it? Server is a yes. I have seen definitely half of it at least at times.
I have seen though, because it got shared on the internet with big lols and thumbs up, is the scene where the guy's falling off of the stern of the ship and he clocks his head on the bar on the way down. That's the only part of like, actually, based on what I've seen of Titanic is metal as hell. It rocks. I've seen a guy fall off the back of a sinking ship and crack his head on a brass railing with an amazing sound effect.
Where were you when Titanic came out?
I was not in the country.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like that probably. Oh, so how was this received abroad?
Oh,
what is your experience with Titanic as an expat?
No, went off like a bomb, man. Everyone saw this movie.
Okay.
It was everywhere. And I like that song. That is the only, I have the weirdest relationship with that movie, because that was one of two songs played the entire time I lived abroad. One was that, the other was Believe by Cher. So That's what it was like here, too. Yeah. So I was convinced, by the way, that America was going through the most like romantic, tragic phase while I was gone. Right.
Yeah.
And then I came back to realize it was actually just the first .com boom in boy bands. That it all like, I came back and they were like, Backstreet. I'm like, I have no idea who these men are. Why do they want it that way?
Okay, but you were teaching, right? You would have been teaching, right?
Right.
When
so,
this happened.
Yes. So everybody that I taught when we played charades, which is an old ESL thing, right? They would always want to do Titanic. And I was like, I kind of have a vague understanding of the plot of the movie, so I'm pretty sure we could do charades. But they'd baffle me, because in pretty simple like middle school English, which is much better than any of our like any of our American students' Chinese, right? They would get up there and they would write, they would go, okay, movie, right? The movie. Okay, they got that. Then they would draw the
I'm
wave.
Just so glad that Spencer's decided to do charades on the podcast.
I'm describing it. Then they would draw
this is
waves.
Better than us playing rock
now. Usually,
paper scissors.
Usually they would get to waves and somebody would say Titanic.
Sure.
It's like they're like, okay, that's the only movie we've all seen this year.
Right. Fuck White Squall.
Right. Under siege. Like two dudes in the back under siege. So they would write waves and then everybody would kind of play along because they always wanted to get to this joke. They would draw a little sort of rectangle that looked like a door or a piece of wreckage.
Right.
And then they would draw this gigantic fat lady on it. They would draw like the biggest lady. They would draw Kate Winslet as like,
here's Terrence Cody on
this Titanic
on a door.
This Titanic woman, right? They would just draw this enormous lady here and they would point to her and go, the big lady, this is the big lady, the big woman. And they'd go, yeah, okay, next. And everyone in the class is cracking up at this point. And then they would draw the scrawniest stick figure sinking with X's over his eyes, right? And they would point to him and they would go, skinny, this is the skinny poor boy, the skinny boy with no money. The skinny boy, just basically being like, loser, cold, very icy cold loser boy. And then they would point to Kate Winslet and they would be like, selfish, this is a selfish fat lady. They're there, like, is room, there is so much room on that. She should move over.
They've like summed up all of America.
I can't see how that could possibly apply to 2021.
But the story of the movie, according to the two dudes who always did this in my class, and I would start cracking up, was that Titanic was about a lady who was thriving.
Yes.
It's about a girl boss. Yes. Who dominated the launch of her successful surviving the Titanic business and kicked a skinny loser off of her business who she didn't need anymore.
And we find out in the frame story, lived a long and fruitful life. Yeah.
He's Leonardo DiCaprio is the Winklevoss twins. And the door's face. The door's face.
No, Ryan, they could row boats.
Welcome to the Shutdown Full
Cast. Count it. Got most of it out.
Oh. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, joined as always by my co-host, Jason Kirk. Jason, how we doing, sir?
So a couple of days ago, I was thinking about how, you know, everyone's really bummed out about everything for pretty justifiable reason. I have a proposal for something that, you know, everyone could do. It's kind of a group project. The whole world, really, almost the whole world. That I think would bring a lot of people together, which is, I think Joe Biden should announce that we are going to, all of us together, declare war on England. That we are, you know, our Irish allies are already swimming across, storming the shitty beaches of England. Our Scottish allies are hopping Hadrian's Wall, and we're all going to liberate Wales. We're just going to flatten England. No one needs it. No one likes it. It's trying to, you know, it's trying to eradicate itself. So why not? Ultimately, all the problems are their fault. They started all this shit. So
I think they should rebrand.
We even have our own Helen of Troy in Meghan Markle.
That's right.
Or Harry.
Yeah, we got them out.
Yeah.
And now leave nothing else.
Evac, Mary Berry, and I think we're good.
I think
does John Boyega live in London? We should probably get him out too. That's it though. That's
he'll be
list.
Fine. He'll make it out fine.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've seen him survive imperial attack before.
He survived Lucasfilm, so I guess he's fine. Yeah.
We can also, by the way, make a test. You can get out of England if you can do 5 pull-ups. That way we get Harry, but we don't get William. The fitness comparison between the two of them is delightful. One got all of the conquering genes, and the other one is William.
I have friends who are way more into the whole royals bit than I am, which is to say they are all the way into the royals bit and I am not at all. And they pointed out in this, in a group text that was being passed around, this magazine photo spread of Will and Kate through the years. And one of them pointed out something to me that I've never been able to unsee, which is that they got engaged right at the moment his hairline hit point of no return.
Lock
like
it in.
The second that man's looks started to go, he locked it down.
It's like the mountain climber game in Price is Right. Like, stop. Mm-hmm.
Stop. Yole, yole, yole. Hairline.
That's enough heiruses, buddy. Come on home.
What do you think? Like, Harry and Meghan should adopt a college football team. Like, all.
Northwestern.
What if it was Arizona State?
They're already stuck with Northwestern.
Oh, God, they don't have to.
No, nobody has to
take UCLA.
Sure.
That's bandwagoning now.
Yeah, it's UCLA.
Although that is incredibly English.
It's like, how much gatekeeping do you think is happening at UCLA? Mm. Hey, if you weren't here before.
No one was here before. We saw the screenshots.
Plenty
week.
Of good seats available.
This door is still open. We'd
if you
like
weren't
you
one of
in.
The 700 here to watch the Hawaii game.
The
you better have some Maurice Jones-Drew thoughts if you want to get to this tailgate, brother.
It's just like 300, but nobody died, and you all went to In-N-Out afterwards.
Yeah,
it's called 30,000.
30,000, the race to 30,000 in the Rose Bowl.
It's an inclusive environment.
I have a question about William, real quick, by the way, or any one of the Royals. What if one of them just started wearing a tracksuit and a goatee? Like, just like they could do. Who's stopping you? Like, you don't have to go out in a button down and some slacks. You could just go out and you could embrace your inner Chav, and you could go out,
Princess Anne. Princess Anne could pull that shit off.
Sure.
She couldn't grow the Stone Cold goatee though.
I think the only thing stopping you is like intense emotional fear.
That's
as
like,
usual.
I'm sorry. Everything. Yeah. But I can wear a tracksuit. That's not gonna endanger the inheritance. And if it does, I still want to get the lecture from my grandmother. You cannot wear a tracksuit.
I just want to be clear. You're most of the way to describing the plot of the film King Ralph.
Oh, good. We've done two of these now.
There we go.
Also better than Applebee's commercial.
Peter O'Toole's in one. That's how you can tell it's good.
There's a drunk driving segue here that I am not making.
Why
don't we get back to a unified path here and talk about 9/11 in Iowa?
Is that an official? That's not an official shirt. That's just somebody.
Oh, of course it's not an official shirt.
Okay. It is my understanding from the internet that it came from a sporting goods store that is local to the area that does have a license.
Okay.
Yeah, I am
but
sure.
Yeah, because we were reminded they did this 10 years ago.
So Iowa doesn't have a license with, say, a reputable established provider of quality apparel like Homefield.
No, they do. They do.
Iowa?
Iowa and Iowa State both do.
Never mind. So
haven't you seen Indiana's Two Towers shirts where the eyes form the Homefield apparel? We won't do that.
So Iowa and Iowa State, a local retailer, published or made a shirt that says like basically Iowa, Iowa State, Twin Towers in between.
Oh, some gave all, some brought hot dish.
Some brought delicious Ames water. Ames drinking water.
It's just so it's simultaneously very subtle and very not. Like, it's not willing to sort of go all the way and sort of be like, you know, sacrifice for the team, sacrifice for the, or, you know, it's not willing to say like football and 9/11, they're the same thing.
No,
but it's also,
but it's got two unharmed towers on the shirt and nothing else.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is also tasteless
Which
enough to
makes
do that.
Me wonder what it is positing. Like, is this a shout out to Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man 2?
Yes, yes.
I think it's sort of a let's remember some things that happened on 9/11. There are many things. There was 9/11. There's El Lasico.
There was
a guy who bowled 300. It should have a Bill Morrow.
Let's remember
Jay-Z's Blueprint
guys.
Came out. Yeah. Glitter came out. Lots of
there,
things.
But in some room somewhere, there were at least two people who sat down and said, like, all right, let's talk about this 9/11 Iowa State design.
Yeah, a number of, as we usually say in these times, a number of people had to think this was a good idea.
So now I want to see the version that they're like, no, Larry, we got to.
Come on, that's too far.
The planes?
That's too far.
The planes
have to
go.
What did this
go.
Pull back from? Yeah, guys, we don't even have a passing game. We can't put planes on the shirt. They wouldn't have pulled planes back for matters of taste. They would have pulled it back because the passing attacks of these teams are largely untested. Also, Iowa's performance last week has ruined for us the other logical off-ramp, which is to say, 9-11 is the final score of the game. We're not being weird.
The AP poll almost bailed us out because they have ranked, I think Iowa State is 9,
and
or,
then,
or maybe yeah, no, Iowa the, is
Yeah, but
is
it's 9-10, right?
9-10.
Yeah, 9-10 on 11.
Yeah, the day we were warned.
Sure.
Is that worse?
What if it's the two towers from the Lord of the Rings film series and absolutely no reference to 9-11 whatsoever, but the game's being played on 9-11 it's Orthanc and the other one?
I just like
don't
that.
Tell me, don't at me and tell me what that is. I don't know.
I just like that it implies that your designer is somebody who neither watches football nor the news for the past 25 years, but is only into Tolkien. Hey, can you give us an Iowa State shirt?
I think that describes a lot of Tolkien fans.
Sirrah, I can. Back to the Shire, to my studio, and I shall make you a shirt unparalleled in its greatness. there was actually a lot of shirt related like
real quick, can I point out a numerology thing here?
Please,
I run a Bible podcast, so you're in the hands of experts here. This game kicks off at 4:30 Eastern, meaning of course that players will be warming up ready to compete around 4:20 on 9/11. Okay. All right. We're off to a good start there. These two teams have played 67 times, which means this will be the 68th rendition. Darn, we're so close. Except, wait, 2020 game was canceled. This is the 69th edition of the Cy-Hawk El Clasico rivalry because last year was supposed to
happen. And that's the
best
shirt they could do?
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to get 420 and 69.
Now I'm disappointed for a completely different reason.
Oh my God.
It's going to be a really good game. Final score 8-8.
I was so hoping you were going to tell me the over under was 69. Which
let's say it
game,
is.
Yeah, there.
That's the total.
Don't
for
dream
the
it,
series.
Be it, baby.
I was so mad on Saturday when we didn't actually get a 5-3 game. Like I thought we
gave it a yeoman effort as a nation.
Utah State and Wazoo were so close to pulling it off. It's a real weird scoring game if you go look. There's some real potential scorigami there. By the way, shouts out to John Boyce.
It was
for
a great weekend to have John Boyce on SportsCenter.
It was a great one because we came so close. But hey, Utah State, you did end up beating Wazoo, so thank you. I'm not gonna take away credit there. Full credit for doing the thing you were supposed to do. You gave him a good shot. I was going to say that we actually did have like t-shirt related drama in the form of Ed Ogeron telling a UCLA fan that he had a sissy shirt, which is the most high school bully thing I have ever heard. That is the
out
most...
of Ed? No.
No. I'm going to drop my Camaro over there.
I'm amazed he found the time. He should have been like poaching players who were evacuated by Ida.
Sounds like he should have been prepared for a Pac-12 team that couldn't get out of its way last year.
Mm.
I feel like, all right, there's always a possibility Ed just was offended by the concept of shirts. You know, like, oh, you're wearing a shirt, right?
What are you, a child?
Yeah, the strange thing, in addition to ascribing like toughness to colors, like, yeah, that's dumb. To do so while wearing purple, right?
I was going
to
say,
not traditionally the butchest color.
Yeah, if we follow this antiquated understanding of gender down the primrose path, sorry to trigger you with the mention of pink there, coach, you can't be the dude in royal purple hollering at the dude in what is, look, it's a beautiful jersey when it's on the field, but in like jersey form, UCLA blue is boring.
Also,
like, hey, Oxford, come down here with that fucking chambray, you panty waist.
The sky is blue. Is Coach O out here talking shit to the sky? Okay, he might.
That didn't listen. I've read Greek mythology. That does not end well.
Mm.
Didn't end well for him. Maybe that was what happened. I also would point out that he can't be uncomfortable with the color pink because I know that man is at least 15% shrimp. At least.
Oh, like a flamingo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, his plumage really should be either a pink or pinkish red based on the shrimp and crawfish consumption.
Now I'm imagining him saying, iodine poisoning.
Now I'm imagining him saying, Scylla and Charybdis.
That's
I can't do it.
That's an effeminate mineral to get poisoned with. Come on, beryllium.
get in my bloodstream.
Beryl's a girl's name.
I want weodine poisoning on this team.
Anyway, UCLA reminded. God damn it. I was just about to steer us back to clear air.
Sorry.
UCLA promptly reminded LSU that gender is a construct by laying a whole mess of points on their doorstep. Somebody ought to sweep that up.
Something that's not a construct would be LSU's defense.
Hey. God, they got pounded too.
They did.
They got beat up.
What I like is that LSU is currently in what is a very bad place to be as a college football team. It's okay to be a bad college football team. It happens and teams have bad years. But where it starts to turn on you is where your famous former alumni are tweeting about you, about how bad you are and why you are bad. And like, I saw Honey Badger doing this where he was basically like, we suck at this, we suck at that, we're not teaching this, we're not teaching. And it's like, when you have lost those guys.
What would
guys,
he know about being a successful football?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. When those guys are out there publicly lighting your ass on fire, you are in a very bad part of the death spiral.
I feel like, so Miami is number one in this regard in the NFL alumni talking shit about their own school. Tennessee is up there. LSU, that can get bad real fast.
I will tell you that whole like, hey, listen, Louisiana, we all have a good time and it's all great. You notice there's no mention, by the way, in all of the exhortations and celebration of Louisiana culture about, and you know what? We're going to stick up for each other. Oh, wait a second. Is he getting it done? That's not exactly part of the code.
Because here's my thing. When fans do this, whatever. Fans are always cranky and fans always want to talk shit. Even ones who know a lot, even if they're right, you can sort of like do that. But if this is what's happening to you from like well-known LSU former players on Twitter, imagining what they're texting and calling the coaches with, because they can do that.
I mean, I would put it this way. If I found out that an LSU player who really liked Ed Orgeron had also texted him a death threat mid-game, I would believe that. And I'm sure the two of them would be like, you know, he just gets like that sometimes.
Right. He gets hangry.
I mean, Ed's used that excuse plenty of times, so, you know, it's only fair.
If you've ever listened to a Bobby Hebert post-game show.
Yeah.
I'm really glad those aren't recorded. Any LSU post-game show has some of the most unhinged callers, but they're not loud and they're not super demonstrative. It's just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to burn down my house if this doesn't get better. I really am. And they're all like, true. That's how it's going to be, y'all, I guess. Yeah, next caller. And they're like, I'm fixing to drive my truck into a lake. And they're like, I've done that. Been there, brother. Been there. Got to fix that defense.
Real quick, how many stops did the LSU defense get in the second half?
Two.
One.
The answer is zero.
Yes. I'm holding up the hand, all right? I get credit for it.
End of game has one stop. LSU's defense has zero in the second half of this game.
LSU, I'm sorry. Are you telling me that y'all, Les is in the pipes. They got to call exterminators. LSU got equally defensive coordinated by Father Time.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That is so, so bad. Because, yeah, they didn't. It wasn't even like big plays. They just held them down.
Yeah.
With their tight end nicknamed Glendale Gronk, which, boy, what a dangerous combination of words that is.
I do like that that the passing line for UCLA reads 9 of 16 for 260 yards.
Hey, make it count.
As in, it could have been worse.
And also, your play action was like, your run game was so effective that when they hit play action, the safeties were like, just the hook fully in the mouth every single time they play faked. I do also like a player named DTR because I don't actually like one. I'm
do convinced, you know what that means?
Dorian Thompson Robinson, right?
Okay.
But DTR always makes it sound like they're being beat by some sort of obsolete video technology. I'm very fond of that, right? DTR for the win. 1983's best video standard. DTR.
Wow.
Now in nanny sound.
It's only on one side.
I want that as my first down sound in stadium.
Wow. It's just you making that noise. Wow. I also wanted to say, though, that, hey, At least LSU didn't lose to an FCS team. Y'all want some FCS trivia?
Oh, I do.
I do. I got a little bit of this for you. A little bit, because this is mainly my way of saying, do you remember when Washington had to hire an offensive coordinator when Chris Peterson left? Mm-hmm. Jimmy Lake had to hire an offensive coordinator, and he went out and got the man behind the most dynamic attack that he could remember at that moment.
Penn State.
2015 Penn State. That's
I was
right.
kidding. Is that really who?
No, that's really who they went
what?
And got. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They went and got the worst coordinator in the recent history of Penn State football. They went and got John Donovan, and John Donovan's
Mike
offense.
DeBoard was right there.
like, by the way, one of the first things that you see is was firing is a result from 2015, which is was firing John Donovan the right decision? Yeah, because he's about to get his next guy fired. Washington played Montana. Montana, they are in the Big Sky Conference. For the record, that is not an FBS conference. That is an FCS conference. And ended up losing the game 10-7. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah, you lost to Montana, a Big Sky team. That is an FCS loss.
I would have liked to have seen Montana,
which I will point out I was listening to the one of the full casts I was not on recently, and Jason
what?
Like Jason said
whoa, you
I know
what
I know okay
no you just dropped the veil, we're not moving on.
I only did it the one time, okay?
You listen no you listen to the full cast,
just this one.
What'd you think?
I won't listen to this one.
What? No, but what do you think of the show?
Well, what I was going to say is that, first of all, it flows much better with only three people, for being honest. And second of all, Jason said to watch out for this game.
I also
we spoke on several things into existence from this past week. Yeah. Most of it was Jason.
Yeah.
I went on a show known as Split Zone Duo. I believe they cover either the NFL or the
it's
business of college
show.
Basketball.
Yeah, it's a finance show.
And I mentioned
a gambling show, yeah,
that the Montana Grizzlies would defeat the Washington Huskies. Lo and behold, that has come to happen.
You also said that joking that Illinois was going to use Duluth UTEP, and you were like, they have UTSA before that.
Yeah.
And
low. You did speak it into existence because Illinois did the full.
I mean, the line on that was like. Five. It wasn't. We're talking Illinois here, not number 20.
Yeah. What would you do if you saw Illinois?
Sorry, that's Big Ten team of the week, Illinois.
That's right.
Getting road run
and still division leader.
Getting motherfucking meep.
They could win the Big Ten.
You
still.
Got meep meeped.
You did get meeped. Oh God. This is imagining Brett Bielema as the world's slowest Wile E. Coyote. It's a beautiful visual for me.
I think he's more the thing they paint the tunnel on.
Well, I'll just let the roadrunner run into this belly.
He is kind Bonk. Of acne colored.
He ran into the tunnel, even though it's not real. Maybe I'll try the same. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. He does communicate mostly through letters.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is working.
Just Brett Bielema writing a letter to Jeff Long that just says, bye.
Signed, Brett Bielema, brain genius. You did call that into reality. Jason, as always, is the oracle. How many other teams since 2007 have lost to an FCS squad? A ranked FBS team. To be
how many of them did we graduate from?
FBS.
Michigan, James Madison, Oregon State, Iowa.
Excellent. Yeah, four. That is correct. So this
and
was this is the fifth loss by a ranked FBS team to an FCS.
Did I say Virginia Tech to James Madison? Did I say James Madison? Okay, yes. Congratulations, JMU, on the call up.
I just assumed that they had come in with Old Dominion and I hadn't seen it, but I was gonna accept that as gospel.
And by the way, there's an attached question to this. It's not quite one of the losses to an FCS team, but goddamn, it is close. What team sent its kicker out on fourth and goal late in the second quarter, trailing 14-7, and then after booze rained down, sent out its offense to go get that TD?
No.
And then stalled out and missed out on 3 points it could have used in a 22-21 loss to a non-Power 5 team.
Hey, no, listen, nobody saw
so
that.
So Georgia Tech, they missed three field goals. This is probably why. 22-21, they missed three field goals. You're trying to tell me they were going to go for a fourth? That would have won the game had they connected. That's amazing.
Jeff Collins likes to talk a lot about how he's a teacher first, and I believe him when he says that he thinks he's a teacher first. I may have some questions about his teaching.
Sure.
Have we just been ignoring it because it's Georgia Tech is just kind of a hum in the background, or is this an enormous looming crater?
I think so. Like, I feel like we're in year like 17 of like, oh, it takes a long
year
time
17
to
of year zero. Yeah.
The gutting of
the deoption,
like, cause yeah. like, oh, it's just completely for what
can you they win without Paul Johnson's
and they,
players?
They pitch it to guys who are running. It's completely unlike anything else, anywhere else in college. But we're on like year 38 of giving this guy mulligans for replacing an offense that already worked fine.
Yeah, it is sort of the like, this is the year I get good at Spanish on Duolingo of college football. And it's like, no,
and then you lose
later.
To Temple.
BC Clayton. BC Clayton. That's where you are a year later.
George, I will say this. I respect that Georgia Tech was respectful enough of its fans to just get this out of the way. Because the extreme opposite of this, I would argue, was Virginia Tech beating UNC, where it felt like most Virginia Tech fans were like, God damn it, now we have to think about keeping him. God damn it, we don't want him here anymore. Justin Fuente, why did you win?
So speaking of Georgia Tech and speaking of going to schools that aren't smart, Georgia Tech this coming weekend plays your Kennesaw State Owls.
Yep. Yep. I saw that and I was like, is it going to be two in a row?
The flex bone option offense is coming
weird.
Back to Bobby Dodd Stadium. Maybe you can get a look at it. You know, you might like the look of it. Maybe you want to try it out sometime. That'll be another 85-year overhaul because these things just, oh my gosh, it's unbelievable how long it takes to replace like 260-pound linemen with 280-pound linemen. It's, oh my gosh.
Sure, slowly. Carve out the Grand Canyon.
This is like people who pretend that Kansas City and Memphis barbecue are different.
I like, how long does it take to gain 20 pounds? I mean, I can do that in a month. Come on, y'all.
Listen, Georgia Tech, these are so fucking good at numbers. Add 1,000 calories a day. Then
I
press
know.
Enter.
I know that there are several Z-grade Chinese restaurants surrounding that campus. Go there 3 times a day.
You're surrounded by Waffle Houses. It's easy to be good at football.
This is a waffle home.
This is. Get everything. You need scattered, smothered, chunked everything. 3 eggs and the waffle.
Christian Bale did it.
I mean, you got smothered by NIU. You're 1/3 of the way there.
At least you could be just proud and luxuriantly fat out there, just struggling and sweating. Our boys will be like, oh god, our big sweaty thick boys out there,
you'll be
just
bad,
tossing
but
around
warm.
I know, I'm so proud of them. They're struggling. They got infected with that option thinness.
Hey,
there's
at
nothing
least
cuter than a fat bee.
At least NIU is in Division One.
NIU, yep. they are D1. Not everyone got to lose to an FBS team, by the way. Holy Cross managed to beat UConn, and you know what? Count it. I don't care. Holy Cross, you get to count that because that is an FBS team, even if it is UConn, who had their coach retire immediately after the game.
Like, what time
but
is
say
it?
He was going to finish, and then the next day, 24 hours later, they came out and said, by the way, he's not finishing. We're not going to let him do that. On the other hand, we don't even want him to stick around that long.
Something not a lot of people seem to be remembering is that this is the second time this has happened to Ramsey Edsel, sort of. Do you remember him calling Maryland his dream job?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what happened after that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got canned.
People wake
sometimes
up dreams
die.
Yeah. Jason had the best phrase.
Sometimes dreams get weird.
I cannot think of another coach who voluntarily left his school as a head coach and also later got fired as a head coach by the same school. Like, that's a very rare double to pull off.
We're going to make it work. We're going to come back together. And you got kicked out.
Boy,
you got the boot. It's rough.
Yeah.
It's
I don't know. I mean, I feel like he's crafted such a confusing narrative that I think if he were to say I resigned, people would say maybe
fine. you know what, fine.
Just whatever.
Tired.
Just leave.
Fine.
Whatever you want to call it.
Jason, in your column on From the Win, you had the funniest phrase of the weekend, which was the UConn truthers, the UConn fist praise truthers, I think was the exact.
Yeah, there was a viral UConn video where it was like UConn catch the fever, and it was like an assistant coach trying to get everyone to break down a huddle, fist in the middle, rah rah, let's go. It's fourth quarter, they're down by 10 points to a not good FCS team, and no one's really participating. A UConn account that is really fucking fired up. Part of the handle is Fifth Borough, as in like UConn is part of New York, I guess.
Wow.
Wait.
How many boroughs are there? Six boroughs.
Never
right?
mind.
Whatever it is.
No, it's the five boroughs. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is even more confusing.
Got it. This UConn fan account posts a longer video, and it's like, see, they're all bought in. And it's like, I see a kid smiling.
Sure.
But yeah, there are UConn huddle breakdown truthers. We're fucking back, baby. College football
amazing.
Is back.
That was to go with the guy who said, hey, I know that drop pass by Notre Dame. That was Bowden that did it. That was Bobby. That's just the spirit of Bobby out there on the field.
That tweet, the ghost of Bobby also deleted it like 5 minutes after.
Ghosts are wily like
that. I think he deleted it after a 60-yard bomb on the defense where you're like, Bobby let a man get past him. Don't ever let the man get deep, because if he's even, he's leaving, Bobby.
Bobby didn't plant his feet because he's incorporeal.
Yeah. Your footwork tends to suffer when one has no feet.
Once you're just kind of a floaty the pajama nightshirt. That being followed by a wide left that was a moment of the week. Bobby, you're home, Bobby. We feel you in this place.
Just a word to mention that Mike Norvell really did ice his own kicker, who hit a 50-yarder on the first attempt and then got 15 yards and missed the shorter attempt. Oh, God. Okay, so the Holy Cross did beat UConn. They have beaten three other teams in FBS as an FCS member. All right, they did drop from FBS to FBS in the 80s, but since then they've beaten three teams. Do you know who they are? How many of them are there?
Temple?
That's a good guess. UMass hasn't been up there long enough.
No.
It would be Holy Cross has defeated Army.
Okay.
They hate the troops.
Yeah.
That's 86, 87, 2002.
Yeah.
Like that's the most Crusades rivalry I have ever heard.
Holy Cross Army. Is beating Army. Constantine's ears just perked up.
There was an SEC FCS upset.
Technically.
Before you get into this. I have not lived here nearly as long as Godfrey, and I do not have the same network he does. So maybe he will have something more learned to say about this. But Vanderbilt getting fucking stomped by ETSU. This is the first time that I have heard strangers, like in the grocery store or at the park or whatever, talking about Vanderbilt football the week after a game. I
what
haven't
did
heard.
They say?
Oh, they were like, "Did y'all see what happened to Vanderbilt?" Like they talked about it as if Vanderbilt stumbled out of a van nude onto Lower Broadway.
Like, it's more of a Belmont thing, but yeah,
it was. It's the I swear I have never heard anyone utter a peep about Vanderbilt football in the like 2 years I've been here, and multiple people who did not like appear to care about football at all were like, did y'all see what happened?
So it's good for branding, you're saying.
Listen, the word is out on Vanderbilt football, and Holly and I were playing this game on Saturday night. How much do you think a ticket, the cheapest ticket to Vanderbilt Stanford is right now on StubHub?
I'm going to sit this one out because I helped make the game.
Is it over $1?
It is over $1. Yes.
I'm gonna go $5. Why?
Okay. $5. It's $6.
I'm holding at $1.
It's $6.
Now,
how much do you think parking costs?
There we go.
$35.
$25.
$40.
That's just because Vanderbilt has such a vibrant game day tailgating scene. You're paying for the experience.
This is the green new deal. Okay. If you're getting, if you're, if you're going to pay,
that's going to make them madder than anything.
We're going to tax Vanderbilt football's carbon footprint out of existence.
AOC just stands for Anchor of Commodores, baby.
This is the stupidest arbitrage economy ever created. All right, so I'm going to get parking passes at 40. Then I got tickets for 6, and then there's profit at the end of this. I'll get there. Like some.
I just love to be near Vanderbilt football. Just near it.
It's like
paying Vanderbilt football proximity.
It's like paying $800 to fly to Paris and be like, "All right, we're making one trip to McDonald's and that's it.
We're turning right back around." That's actually that. If I was a billionaire, that's the type of shit you could.
Yeah.
Like just sampling. You know who's got a really good Arby's? It's probably Slovakia. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, I'm going to the Burger King in Seoul. That's what we're going
to
do.
So, yeah, I'm sorry. You were going to say that Vanderbilt lost to ETSU. What was the final? 23-3?
23-3.
Fuck.
I'm going to quote. I heard Darnielka say this once. Darnielka said, "It's never good when we're putting together the highlights, and the only thing we have to show you is a field goal." Like, if they're like, second quarter, field goal. If you see that and that's your team, jump out the nearest window. You don't want to see what's happening next.
The good news is, based on what I can tell, Vanderbilt fans are very ready to put all of their problems on Derek Mason for a long time. For a long, long time. Yeah.
Who could have foreseen that?
Yeah. Huh. So good start. Good start.
That the 23-3, I use the term loosely, upset. Who was the last FBS team that East Tennessee State upset? The last one.
Was it us?
You'll hear it. You'll go, "Oh yeah, that makes sense." That's a good guess, but no.
MTSU.
It is a Power Five school.
Oh, it's a Power Five school.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Was it us?
Yeah, but you'll hear it and go, "No, it was not Tennessee."
Okay.
It was NC State in 1987.
Oh, no. Yeah.
29-14.
Oh no.
I told you it would make sense, right?
Fuck.
This one's pretty easy. There was another completely lopsided FCS FBS game. It's not a Power Five school, so we might not have thought about it this way. That would be South Dakota State, Jackrabbits, defeating Colorado State, coached by the immortal Steve Adazio. Just dudes losing to vermin. Dudes losing to rodents. And
are you calling him immortal because he kind of looks like Frankenstein's monster?
Or is it because we can't get rid of him?
Get rid of him. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Immortal like a cockroach.
He's up in the mountains. He's literally got a fort. He's occupied Fort Collins. You're not going to get him out for several winters until you starve him out.
I don't know if he'll be there for several winters. Football seasons happen in winter.
Losing to the Jacks, baby. They are very
That's
good
a way to make
game.
It one winter.
Yeah.
I don't think it's losing to the Jacks. I think it's getting housed by the Jacks. I think.
Yeah. Lose it. You know, these are comparable football teams. All right.
Yeah.
But you got to be competitive.
Yeah.
No, they got slammed 42-23 at home. Who was the last FBS team? The Jackrabbits upset. I don't know if upset's the word here.
Kansas.
Kansas, I want to say.
That is correct. That is correct. Kansas
in the game where Kansas fucked up a snap, I believe.
On a field goal or an extra point or something?
I think it was even dumber than that. I think they were trying to clock it and they fucked up the snap, like that.
Okay. This is why I'm not mad at Kansas for rushing the field after beating South Dakota. Like, fuck that.
No, we did not see that coming.
You have finally defeated a Dakota.
Winning in week one is much better than not winning in week one. That's all it comes down to.
Storm the field every fucking game. Storm their field. Who gives a shit?
It's fine.
Storm all fields is what they're for.
My name tag doesn't say Emily Post. You go do what you want to. You want to go out there and burn the field after every game.
Burn
the
fucking field every game.
Dismantle the stadium like the Bastille when you beat South Dakota.
And here come the Jayhawks salting the field after their victory.
Tear apart the entire fucking stadium and rebuild
it. Firstborn? That's a bit extreme.
You know what? That proves you're rich. If you tear down the stadium and rebuild it, that proves you're rich. Texas?
You're giving them ideas.
Texas, listen up.
Yeah,
that's how we do shit here in the SEC, Longhorns.
Aggies, Longhorn, I'm sorry, you ain't rich. Put your stadium, you need to rebuild it every week.
Rebuild the whole damn stadium.
You ain't rich enough to do that. I bet you're not rich enough. I bet you don't have the money. I bet you can't do it, poor folks.
Sir.
Longhorns are too poor to slide their giant end zone Longhorn 1 foot to the left so it's centered.
Too poor.
That's why
they're absolutely insane.
here comes Purdue Pete with his giant hammer just taking down the stadium piece by piece.
It's just upsetting.
With his dead eyes. Look at him work. He never sleeps. He's like a nerd golem. Just math. This one.
I don't believe in OSHA. Here I go.
The scariest one to me, I thought I would just get a couple of these, and I am astonished. Northern Iowa did not win in their bid to upset Iowa State. That would be top 10 team, Iowa State. They did push them to the breaking point, though, in a 16-10 win over UNI. How many times has Northern Iowa actually gotten it done? How many times?
Against an FBS team?
Against an FBS team, how many times have they gotten it done in their history?
Twice.
They're good, but I'm not recalling any.
Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of close, but not quite. Holly said twice. I'll say four.
You say four. Jason?
I'll say zero. I mean, that's no disrespect. I just can't recall any.
It is disrespect because they've done it 12 times.
Wow.
Okay. 12 times.
Wow.
When everybody does.
I want you to. Now, I have to read them because the laughter will intensify as I repeat a certain team over and over again.
Oh, dear.
2016 against Iowa State. 2013 against Iowa State. 2007 against Iowa State. 2001 against Ball State. 1999 over Ohio. 1998 against EMU. I'd almost not count that one. 94 against Iowa State. 92 against Iowa State. And then 89 against Kansas State, 86 against Kansas State, 85 against Kansas State, and 85, they did it again against then FBS Illinois State, who later dropped. So we have to count that one. But 12 times total, UNI has come away with the head of an FBS team. Don't
apologize to Northern Illinois. And that is awesome scheduling. Listen to when they're catching those teams. Listen to when they're catching those teams, though. You got pre-K State, Bill Snyder. You got Ohio before, say, 15 years ago. Like, these are some dregs. Iowa State before, like, 17 minutes ago when they got pretty good.
Listen, you know that dog who goes door to door, or the horse that goes door to door? There's a story about it in a French hospital. There's a horse that goes door to door to terminally ill patients and, like, you know, goes and, like, sits with them. And then, like, later that patient dies because, I don't know, the horse is like the angel of death and it's like, you may go now. Northern Iowa is the horse that shows up at your door at the hospital. Don't let it in, because if they're like, hey, we should totally play a football game, that's not a good indicator for the health of your program.
Northern Iowa, surprisingly, not a home field school, but big news Saturday still going on, so maybe could be.
What's this week's big news Saturday?
They're taking this week off, but we just got North Carolina, so which is proof that
North Carolina, who took last week off.
Yep, home field magic.
If you'd had home field before last week, North Carolina, this might have gone different.
That's right. It needs time to work, idiots. Mm-hmm. Homefieldapparel.com, home to the best, most comfortable, most beautiful looking college apparel you can find. T-shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops, occasional pants. And I got to tell you, I do not know what the weather is like in Georgia, but it is like, you can start to feel it in Tennessee. It's starting to get here. We're slowly approaching hoodie weather.
Yeah, it's down to 85. I made soup.
It's good. I'm very excited about it. I'm probably due for a re-up pretty soon, because I gotta get some more. I got to get some more home field sweaters to wear. Sweatshirts, rather, to wear.
Drop the sweaters.
Home field cable knits.
Home field.
Outfitting the crustiest fisherman of Nova Scotia.
Give me leggings.
Home field apparel.
Give us leggings.
It's just Boston College. That's it. Boston College gets sweaters. Nobody else. Use offer code FULLCAST. You get 20% off your first order. And... Did any of y'all get any of the Boise State stuff?
I still have not worn all of my Tennessee shirts that I got from Homefield. I am wearing one right now with Smokey the dog on it. It says Smokey.
I just really like that you can get a shirt from Homefield that says in larger letters than Boise State, T-Dog. Like,
yes,
it sends a message. That's
the, I need to get the real star is here.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need to get the UW Sunducker shirt. I need to get the fancy lad.
The
Sunducker would be amazing, but
the Sun Dodger.
Sun Dodger. Yes.
Folks, yeah. You can reach Spencer at
Sun Dodger. The Sun Dodgers.
That's fine. Sun Ducker is my favorite Def Heaven album.
Yeah, that's when the Alliance forces Washington and Oregon to merge.
The ultimate vitamin D deficient fan base.
God. This is also probably a good point to just like slowly point out, like, hey, Oregon barely beat Fresno State. And it's only thanks to that that the Pac-12 North did not go winless on opening week.
Hey,
wow, what division would do that?
So Oregon's in really good shape, right, Ryan?
Yeah, Oregon's like, fine.
Oregon's looks, championship hopes are going really great. And Oregon they'll probably looks, hold up for at least another
yep.
3 days as look, of this.
Look fucking awesome. Not a problem.
Kayvon Thibodeau, definitely not injured.
Nope. Offense definitely fine. Looks good.
Yep. Sad mm-hmm. plan.
Hey, did you see who UCLA plays next?
No.
Fresno State.
Whoops.
Wow, that's Pac-12 championship right there. Two best West Coast teams.
The gates to the West pass through Fresno.
This we can use this as a transition point eventually to talk about acorns because Stanford is the trees, but man, Stanford just so many punts in opponent territory in a non-conference game that was close. Where in theory, like. After last year, you think like, I don't know, maybe get a little loose with them. Not David Shaw.
Hey man, Georgia punted in opponent territory. It worked out okay for them.
That's true. That's true.
For now.
I guess Stanford and Clemson are basically
Yeah, Georgia
in the
had
same
to get their
right
offense
now.
Back on the field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stanford and Clemson both lost to top-notch Power 5 opponents. And still have all their goals on the table. Conference championship. Heisman. National, you know, make the playoff. Yeah. Stanford, Clemson, same school in all ways, in all regards.
Academics.
No questions asked other than the tree thing, which, yeah, Stanford's got a tree, and that's an excuse for us to talk about acorns.
Acorns. You know who else has a tree? You know who else has a tree?
Nope.
It's acorns.
There it is. There it is.
How
Flawless.
It works.
Fuck. Jason. Throw it down. Throw it down.
Jason filling in for Spencer today.
Thank you.
How it works is you go to acorns.com/fullcast. Once you do that and you complete the recommended steps, you will receive $5 in the account that goes with the app you download. Then you tell the app to do certain things, such as taking money from your bank account and putting it into the market. And then as you do that, how it works is the number in your app increases. As that increases, the date of your retirement draws nigh, further and further nigh. So simply downloading this app means you have fewer days to work here on this earth. That's acorns.com/fullcast. My retirement account, it's nearly done. I'm thinking about good. I'm gonna
mid program. No, I'm done.
Congrats.
I'm pulling a Randy Edsel. I'm out of here. I think I'm good.
I'd like to finish the show. You may not finish.
You may not.
I'd like to tag in Cerber in my spot, but now is when that's happening.
One correction on my part. Big important difference between Stanford and Clemson. Stanford ran for 39 yards on 22 carries. Spencer and Holly, how many yards did Clemson run for?
Two.
Four?
Two.
Sorry, I respect Clemson too much.
You
I
do.
Guess.
You do.
Dose. Yeah. They ran for one generously sized adult.
They didn't even run for a Godfrey. They didn't even run for a
they
Godfrey.
Did. Oh my God, this is the new thing. Did you run for a Godfrey? They didn't run for a Godfrey. They didn't average over 5 yards of pass. They didn't score a TD. They didn't move the ball sideways, forward, or down the field. That is also.
There was a lot of sideways.
There wasn't much productive sideways. There wasn't a whole lot of sideways and then forward, right? Like they were like, oh, let's try the perimeter. Oh boy, that didn't work either.
Nothing. It's bad over there too.
It's bad. Like it was watching them test, you could see they were like, Maybe this part of the soup isn't hot. The
raptor testing the fence. It turns out there are no weaknesses. So you just had a really bad day. Very, very impressed by the fence.
These are lively today. Goodness.
Hey, whoever built this fence, you should hire this person again.
Just to be clear, in this version, all the dinosaurs at Jurassic Park are Christian.
Well, they already were, Ryan. They were made by Jesus. So,
yeah. By the way, the lead right now, as it stands, for my embezzling younger son over my believe in the rules, follow the line, older son. Mr. I'm gonna take it is now $74 ahead.
Good.
I checked that out. I did see several people wondering why the math is inconsistent. One, that's because it's me, but two, also finance is a game of flows. It does ebb and it does flow. And right now it's flowing a little bit his way because
he can get 5 tickets and park into the Vandy game.
Knowing him, he'd figure out the arbitrage that I can't figure out between Vandy parking, the most valuable thing in Vanderbilt athletics, and the ticket, the least valuable thing.
Why don't they make the whole football program out of parking?
Do you think so? Like every sports fan sort of does this thing where it's like, why doesn't the SEC just kick out Vanderbilt and add anyone? Well, here's the answer. Like somewhere in SEC headquarters, there's like a fail safe that's like, don't fire them, we'll lose access to their parking revenue.
I love the implication though that the market is perfect because it says that the market is saying what people want to do most and the most valuable thing is to go park at a Vanderbilt game and then boo from the parking lot because nobody wants the ticket. So they go to the game, they tailgate, they boo, but they do not view the game. They just like to congregate without the football, which I think sounds like a really efficient way of enjoying Vanderbilt football. None of the pain, all of the socializing.
Yeah, everyone loves to hang out with Vanderbilt alumni. Definitely.
Hey, Chris. What's up, Chris? How you doing?
Can I change the subject briefly to Miami football?
Always.
Okay.
It's a good time for that.
Holly went no and then yes, so I'm very excited to see how this is going to go. I want to, first of all, Miami lost Alabama. If that is news to you, because you didn't watch the game, that's fine. If that is news to you because it's surprising, you should see a doctor. I went back through, I did 2008 through 2019. Obviously, Bama didn't play a non-conference opener or opener-ish. I say that because there are a couple Penn State games here that are in week 2. And I looked at all the opponents Bama played and beat in those years and what happened next. And there's good news and bad news. The good news is this. From 2008 to 2019, only one team, after getting beat by Bama in week 1 or occasionally in week 2, lost its next game. Most of these teams go on and they like beat, you know, sometimes they're playing a MAC school that they should beat handily. Sometimes they're playing somebody a little better than that. But most of the time you win. It's not like this lingering effect that like carries over into the next week. The one exception is 2017, Florida State. Entered the Bama game, I think ranked number 2, and then lost to NC State the next week after they lost to Bama. Some injury stuff in there as well, so maybe not perfect. So that's the good news for Miami, is you're probably not going to lose to App State, your next opponent.
I think that there have been some teams that ended up having really good, like USC ended up being 10-2 and going to the Rose Bowl.
So that's the bad news part, is that yes, there are some. there's that USC Rose Bowl team in 2016. There's a Virginia Tech team that ended up going winning like 10 or 11 games. There's a Wisconsin team that did pretty well. But most of the time, the average right now is that after you lose to Bama, so you already got one loss, you're going to lose 4 or 5 more after that. So that is potentially on the table for Miami now, is, I don't know, 7-5, 6-6. I don't think that's going to happen because I think Miami is better than some of these teams out here, but also that would be very funny to me personally. So I'm going to like put it out there into the universe and hope that the forecast magic does its evil thing.
I mean, they play App State next, and then they get Michigan State on the 18th.
Who looked very frisky against Northwestern.
Yeah, that did not look like an unchallenging team. That did not look like a layup for anyone.
No. No.
They do play somebody called Central Connecticut State. I am going to go ahead and just say that might be the Bishop Sycamore game. I don't know this school. I have never heard of it. They are sub FCS. Like, I don't.
Other FCS.
Okay. So does Randy Edsel coach them as well?
Yes.
Will he be coaching them by then?
It's his brother, Andy Redzel. That's how brothers work, right?
You take a really crappy alias, and that's how you become someone's brother. You have brothers. You know that's not how this works.
The U is back.
They could be like 2-2 going into hardcore ACC conference play there.
Yeah.
Which means, so looking at just to pick a random stat, looking at the Massey ratings, Miami's highest expectation in any FBS game, highest win likelihood in any FBS game remaining is all of 62%.
Against who? Georgia Tech? Yeah. Or Duke was the other one I was going to guess.
Miami is at Duke, and that is a mere 52%.
Wow.
Massey is down on the Canes.
All right.
Let's flip over to FPI real quick because they got the win projections. Let's see here. God, sorry. FBI has the Canes going winning between 7 and 8 games. Let's see here. Let's just really
okay.
What team rankings is working is the team rankings agrees between 7 and 8 wins for the Canes.
This is hurting Bama's playoff case.
Thanks. They should do that. Like, Nick should send a letter like 2 months into the season to be like, "Thanks for nothing, Manny Diaz. I'm never doing this again." Weak.
They're finally done with the neutral site shit. This is it. It's done.
Yeah, it's the final one.
It is. The next one is like a home and home with Texas, I think. But like the stupid neutral site thing where every year we're like, why did these idiots agree to this? Finally, the idiots are done agreeing to this. Actually, it was like Bama was like, no, we want people to attend games in our stadium. But
no one's lining up to take this whooping. You got to come. You got to come to Club T-Town.
On the plus side, now we got to see a Louisville dog at Mercedes-Benz Stadium watching Louisville get fucking trashed by Ole Miss.
Oh, God. The Matt Corral show is so good. It is so good. He does
I like that people were like, how did somebody get a dog into the stadium? And my thing is like, how did a Louisville fan will themselves into turning into a dog so they could stop comprehending their football team?
I can't watch this anymore.
Transmogrify!
The weirdest Animorph story ever. What's your origin story? Well, I went to a game.
Louisville fan, just a regular dog.
That's Papa John. That's the only way he can get into a Louisville game now. It's to morph into his animal form of shaggy, adorable dog. That game, everything Matt Corral does is irritating to a defense. Even the way he slides real late and with his head kind of up as if optimally designed to draw targeting fouls.
You can't coach that. You can't coach that.
You can't. Like, in addition to being a really great quarterback, he's phenomenal. Like, everything. Ball placement, reading, working well within that system. Like, he's a good runner. I don't really know. His only weakness is bravado. That's it. Like, he's going to have a game this year where he throws 5 picks. Just wait for it.
I thought you said weakness.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess in college, I'm going to go ahead and say that's fine. That's totally fine. He can also get 2 defenders thrown out on a single play, as he nearly did by drawing with Louisville, who I don't know. Like, I know it's hard to tackle a guy with his head up like that. Like, that's very, very difficult. But at the same time, Louisville seemed bent on going face first into everything in the game. Like, in lieu of actually competing or playing, all of their defenders just went crown first into whatever was in front of them.
Yeah. You do it enough times, and then they don't have a defense. Which, I mean, it's Ole Miss Louisville. Nobody has one anyway. So,
yeah, and that's how you allow 40 points to Ole Miss on opening night. And then, well done.
Then you get middle linebacker Louisville dog in the stands.
I'm over here, guys. I'm a dog now. It's great. You should all get ejected and come over here. just turning into poker dogs, just over there smoking cigars, playing poker. I did also want to talk about one more game on the schedule, if we could, and that would be the Florida game, because
really
have it. Yeah, no. I really want to actually like Anthony Richardson. Like it's so hard. It's so hard to not actually say that we have a quarterback problem.
You don't have a.
All right, we don't. We have two.
Dan Mullen's right. You don't have a quarterback problem.
Yeah.
However.
Yeah. However, we have to get them both on the field at the same time, because one of them jumped a dude, and I don't care if it was Florida Atlantic. He said he was going to do it, and he did it. And when you do that, there's everyone in the fan base, sane or not, is going to be like, oh, we could be starting that guy. Now, Mullen's thing is that he says he can't operate the offense yet, meaning he misses basic checks. He's probably not seeing like where to slide protections and all of the things that Emory Jones can do.
I think that makes a stronger case for starting him.
He's like, you got to rely on your gifts, son. Go on out there.
What week do we play this year?
Yeah, I think we're coming up in two.
Shit.
I think we got 2 weeks until Tennessee and Florida.
Well, listen, we couldn't pass on Bowling Green, so hunker the fuck down.
And now it's time for Pitt, Tennessee Pitt.
No, Spencer, you got to play Alabama first.
Yeah.
Holly, did you see who like the honorary captain is going to be for the Tennessee Pitt game?
Yep.
Okay.
Who's it going to be?
Jackie Sherrill.
Honestly, can he give the pregame talk? We might could use it.
This year, I'm going to castrate this live panther for you.
Fine.
Boys.
Fine.
Isn't that our mascot,
kids,
Jackie?
Kids, you ever seen an eagle get de-beaked? Line up.
I'm going to debone this graduate assistant right here. God, that's gory.
Coach Boned and debone mean the same thing.
I'm going to make this pencil disappear.
I'm hiring, boys. Snap spook you. Yeah, Joe Milton only has on the video game console, his button says hard pass. That's it. Hard pass.
It reminded me of
strong pass.
It reminded me of Ainge, actually, where it's either going to hit your receiver in the numbers, or it's going to leave a smoking hole through the chest of somebody in the front row, and there is no third option. But in Joe Milton's defense, when in his college career would he ever have had the opportunity to receive quarterback coaching?
Fair.
Before now.
Fair.
Where was he before? Just where? Where?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
I don't know, Spencer. We don't explain the plot.
Mm. So he's going to be facing Pitt and Pat Narduzzi, who has, if the two hemispheres of his brain were offensive and defensive, right side, a shriveled prune, a tiny little dim pulse, only indicating that it was alive. The left side, the defensive side of the brain, massive, huge, grandiose, overdeveloped, crackling with the electricity of knowledge. Pitt's going to put Joe Milton into some sort of like phantom zone type state where he is not going to know what he's looking at all. It's going to be bad. Real bad.
Can I bring up a football game?
Please.
The Mercer Bears in week one. They face Point University, an NAIA school. Point University, their name was a lie. They recorded zero of them. Mercer, of course, put up 69, missing a kick, and then their kicker posted, had to take one for the team. So basically the perfect day of football for Mercer. Played a completely unqualified opponent and won by the nicest score of all. Week two, they go from playing an NAIA team to Alabama. I mean, I can't imagine that it's.
Now
I don't
you're
know.
Gonna take several for the team.
Yeah. Hope you liked scoring points. Just like, what an experience for Mercer to go. I don't know of anyone who's ever done that.
Can they become the first team to score 69 and then allow 69 in the subsequent game?
Lane Kiffin's definitely done that before. Like,
this is all Lane Kiffin does on Madden every night.
Why'd you run out of bounds on that 2-point conversion? You know.
If you know, you know.
There's an awful lot of dudes chuckling at this every time it happens, who I'm positive have never gone down on a single fucking person. I just want to say that.
Is it so nice? Is it, Chris?
I believe
in bears.
Yeah, all right.
No.
I've read My Boyfriend is a Bear, the comic, so.
You should have to have like a current or former sexual partner certify you before you can make the nice joke.
Somebody
should just have to
like
be like
a wristband.
Yes,
you should have a wristband,
right? Like it's sort of like an yes, I can confirm this person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
An affidavit.
Yep, that's what it is.